please enjoy Maximum Overdrive live in Austin.
I saw a Dick Hot Dog up here. I like, there you go, Dick Hot Dog. Beautiful.
I saw a big Dick Hot Dog. That guy's huge.
What? Pardon me?
You heard me. That guy's huge.
Oh, you started with, that's a big Dick Hot Dog.
That was my name in high school.
My name is Andrew Jupin.
I'm Chris Cabin.
Steven Sadak.
Eric Siska.
And we are We Hate Movies from New York City. How you guys doing this afternoon?
Hi, everybody.
Evening, whatever the hell it is. So real quick, how many of you guys are familiar with the show we run on the internet? Okay.
Okay.
For those who don't, for those who just were coming here to see Black Men Can Jump, which, by the way, round of applause.
Yeah.
Yes. That was fucking great. We are a bad movie podcast.
Yes.
Where we take a movie of, you know, varying quality, as it were, and we kind of just sort of poke fun at it a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Just a scotch.
So has anyone watched Maximum Overdrive?
Oh, right, tonight's film.
Oh, yeah, right.
It's from 1986, directed by some guy.
Some person.
Clickety-clack.
Clickety-clack. Now, by the way, that is a ballsy trailer. That is full of balls, God.
Let's get it out of the way. It's not a horror movie.
It's not a horror movie.
It's no, so movie. Who is getting the hell scared out of them?
The financiers.
Yes.
Well, dude, by the way, the start of that trailer and the start of the movie, a great sign you're about to waste a ton of money. Dino De Laurentiis is involved.
It was directed by the nice cartel that provided Stephen King with all of what he needed.
Yes. Yeah. No, he was down the slopes on this one. Like a fucking black diamond trail.
His eyes are going this way and that way in that trailer. Holy shit.
He was directing scenes in his head like 10 scenes ahead of time, not telling anybody.
No, we did this scene already. We did it already. No, Stephen, we didn't.
That scene's not even in the script.
Just get naked. Shut up.
So, Eric Siska,
yes.
If you could do us all a quick favor.
Uh-oh.
Just quickly distill down to its very Stephen King essence what that movie is.
Okay, so cars and electronic devices, it's very ill-defined, by the way. Some of them come to life and attack people.
And some don't.
Some don't.
Some don't.
And that's the movie. Good night, everybody.
Hashtag not all cars.
Well, I have another way of describing it.
Okay.
Okay, so you know how there's Magic Mike and then Magic Mike XXL?
Yes. Yeah.
This is Christine and then Christine XXL.
Oh, right. Very good, Chris Cabin. Mm-hmm. I like that.
You know, I have a fan theory about this movie.
Oh, really? Wait. This presupposes that there's fans of this movie. So maybe it's more you have a viewer theory.
And it's not. I know you're all thinking, I think that Pat Hingle died and this is all in his memory before.
Right, that's the most popular Universal fan theory.
It's like happening in his mind. No, it's not that. My theory is it's a bunch of ghosts. A bunch of vicious ghosts.
Okay. Oh!
Because, like, cars, electronic devices, a gun at some point, it's something's pulling that trigger.
Okay.
It's a ghost.
A malicious ghost. We call them poltergeists.
Exactly. Now imagine everyone who ever lived is now a poltergeist.
Horde of phantoms.
To sort of add to this, right, so do you think then that this gas station where the majority of the film takes place built over an ancient Native American burial ground.
It would have
that's
to
it.
Be.
That's it.
Checks
yeah.
out.
Pat Hingle knew that going in.
Now, Chris Cabin, I understand you have a fan theory as well?
I have a separate theory.
Dueling viewer theories. Because there's no fans of this. No.
Somebody likes it.
Does anyone like this?
No. Thank you.
Yeah.
I saw two hands.
All the sheepish hand raising. They're going to make fun of me.
It's okay.
This guy in the back is probably like, fuck you four fat fucks. I executive produced that movie.
And it was great.
Dino De Laurentiis, everybody. How about that?
I'm going to buy your podcast. It's a me, a Dino De Laurentiis. Oh.
Yikes.
Jesus.
Kind of a Dracula, but Italian.
Yeah, way to skew it towards Dracula to save your
By
ass.
By the way,
bud.
It is for sale. If anyone's interested, we'll be selling it outside.
Wait, so Chris Cabin, with your viewer theory, go ahead here.
Okay, so as many of you, the fans, five of you
Dino
know.
Dino and then like four other people.
This movie is chock full of fucking AC/DC.
Yes.
There's only one universe when this much AC/DC is allowed,
okay.
And that is the alternate Back to the Future 2, 1985, where Biff Tannen rules over everything.
Yes.
This is 2 years after Biff took over.
Nice. So that's like non-voluntary AC/DC at that point.
Yeah, everywhere.
Like
you're
not allowed to choose AC/DC.
No, it's like, hey, butthead, AC/DC does the soundtrack to every movie now.
Only Biff gets Van Halen. You Everybody know, else gets AC/DC.
You get like a national bird, it's a national band.
They replace all the elevator music. It's all, you know, for those about to rock.
But would they
Here
do
Here comes
it?
A bride! We salute you! Happy Bar Mitzvah!
They kind of.
Wait, is there a song called Happy Bar Mitzvah?
Yes, I wrote it.
Okay.
I'm gonna buy that song.
Oh, man. You know what's great, by the way? This movie starts with an electronic device telling Stephen King himself that he's an asshole. And I don't think that Stephen King's an asshole, but maybe he himself thinks
he's an
asshole.
It's actually the most honest thing ever, because the bank is telling people, fuck you.
Yes.
Oh, right. Not secretly fucking them, but just openly fucking their face.
And we should mention that all this is happening, this mayhem is happening, because a comet flew by the Earth.
Oh, yes. Right. There's a little bit of, it's not a scroll, it's just a too long paragraph.
A run-on sentence.
It's a poorly punctuated, misspelled run-on sentence that takes up the whole frame that nobody checked out. And they leave it on way too long because they know what's going on. Mm-hmm. Do you know who's watching this?
This was the Rhea M. Comet.
Pardon?
The comet's named Rhea, like Rhea Perlman.
Oh, man.
You know who loved this movie?
Rhea
Danny
Perlman?
Danny DeVito?
Yes, but... The heavens...
Ted Danson?
No, goddammit.
Oh, Woody Harrelson?
Woody Harrelson, yeah.
Coach? The guy who played Coach?
John Ratzenberger. John Ratzenberger.
The guy who ran Cheers.
Yes. The Heaven's Gate cult.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yeah, all right.
A religion. A religion was based on this movie.
So, like, they were. That's why they drank that juice. They thought a bunch of fucking cars were going to kill them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, what the hell just happened over here?
I think we got a Heaven's Gate member.
Oh, nice. It's nice to see some of you guys stuck around. Yeah. I loved the jumpsuits.
So I think the idea is why Stephen King's bank account calls him an asshole is because, like, that's like what he thought every time he like took out money for Coke. Like, you fucking asshole. You fucking asshole. You're doing it again. You fucking asshole.
We know what this is for. You're an asshole. Just smoke weed. It's much cheaper. But that's what this movie starts with, like a montage of things going wrong. Right?
It's like a YouTube highlight reel of better movies. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I would watch Killer Coca-Cola Machine, the motion picture.
Yes.
Right? There's like a little league coach who gets hit in the nuts with a can. And then like he gets this big one like right here in the forehead, like half his head comes off. That's impossible.
I like Killer Lawnmower. I would like that to be a series, a franchise even.
Isn't that kind of what Lawnmower Man starts out as?
No. Have you seen that movie?
Nah.
Okay.
So you think Stephen King was like doing coke? I was like, oh man, Lawnmower Man.
Oh, did he write that one?
Yeah, of course he did.
He did?
I told you I didn't see it.
I think he did, right?
I don't know about that scene. Was
audience?
Yeah, all right. Wow. Yeah, there we go.
So he did.
Was it a Richard Bachman?
Oh, why the fuck didn't Richard Bachman do this, by the way? That's what he uses to hide behind.
Or
things.
Alan Smithy.
Oh, oh
yeah. Richard
well,
Bachman.
You know what? You couldn't Alan Smithy this because he's in the trailer. That's true. Everybody would know.
Have you ever seen Alan Smithy?
Oh, that's true. Hi, I'm Alan Smithy. And I'm so high on coke right now.
My name is Name Withheld.
You know what's great about that trailer? And another thing that I love is like he's supposed to point at the camera to be like, scare the hell out of you. But he's so high that it's, I'm going to scare the hell out of you. You see his hand? It's way over here.
You can see him. He's inside his own head and doesn't know what to do.
And look at the guy holding the boom mic is like, me?
I already know what happens.
Sorry. Yeah, Steven, I'm scared, man. Could we go home? Is it lunch or what?
Is that the signal for me to get the coke guy again?
Coke guy? Yeah, so I guess, yeah, there's that. There's but the Little League scene's fantastic because
yes,
a kid gets run over by a steamroller.
Sure does. Yes. Sure does.
Child death in a movie.
Child death. I always say, child death in a movie like that, you have guts as a filmmaker. Stephen King, gutsy filmmaker. That kid gets run over, and he wanted it to be gorier, and they said no. He was like, could you put like a packet of blood in his jacket, and then it'll pop?
Oh, Jesus.
And they were like, no, no one wants to watch a kid pop.
Look, my mother right. made this pot of spaghetti. Just pour it out there.
Oh, shit, mom's spaghetti difference. Doing it, huh? Oh, shit.
I want to see a kid pop.
So yeah, coke machine, kid popping with the steamroller, that's a good one. Oh, the favorite though, the drawbridge.
Oh, the drawbridge is really important.
It is so sir, it is so stupid, that's why we're here talking about it. Let us take it from here. Now, as the fifth Beatle down here mentioned, it's so stupid.
Wait, hold on. Don't say Beatles, man. Don't do it. Wait,
the well, fifth monkey.
Yeah.
We're bigger than Jesus.
Yeah. Don't say that down here. I don't know what's going on.
No, so this drawbridge is great because these two drawbridge operators are kind of just playing cards, not paying attention to the drawbridge.
Yeah.
And it's like, is this like lighthouse keeper? Is it that kind of a chill job?
I guess, right?
No, it seems high stakes, man.
Lighthouse keeper?
No, drawbridge guy.
Drawbridge keeper.
Listen, you only got to care when a boat comes by, right?
Yeah. Right, yeah. Or in this case, when a comet makes it open by itself and but all these cars start falling
you
through
see,
it.
You see the goddamn button go down. I'm saying ghosts.
I think fair. He's onto something. I think the comet thing's just like a to throw us off course.
Or like
a red herring, as they say.
Right, or the comet resurrects the dead.
Oh, okay.
Stealing from George Romero now, too.
Yes.
Maybe. Oh, there's a satellite? Who cares?
But people see the ground lift above them, and they're like, well, the light's not on, so I'm going to keep driving.
Yeah, some of this is on the people.
Yeah, absolutely.
It can't all be the comet or whatever the
When the ground moves, you put your car in park. And then you're like, all right, we'll see what happens here.
Also, if you're in a car and a slow-moving drawbridge starts going like this, get out.
Yeah.
Just get out of your car. Look how much time you have.
But then...
look, and it goes even slower than this.
Also,
it's going that slow and someone flies through a windshield.
That's pretty great.
Yeah, it's at a 10-degree angle and just 90 everything.
What I love is there is a watermelon truck that...
Uh-oh.
Oh, man, we love fucking watermelon trucks, don't we? No, but the amazing thing is it starts going everywhere, and I'm thinking, was that going to a... Where else could a watermelon truck go to than a Gallagher show in 1986? Yeah,
that's actually true. It's 1986... People are kind of like just starting to not give a shit, but we're not there yet, so he's still selling out venues like, I don't know, they call them palladiums or big theater or an auditorium like that, right?
Wait, what happened?
Oh, son of a bitch.
All of them? Wait, hold on. They were smashed for free? You got to pay to see that.
Gallagher, there's other fruit you could use. How about a cantaloupe?
Would you tell Leonardo da Vinci how to paint... cantaloupe?
Pineapple?
No.
You ever try to smash a pineapple with a hammer? It's so fucking dangerous. The little spiky parts going everywhere.
I can't change my act. I'd have to take 2 months to figure out a pineapple bit.
Wait, and they were all smashed at the same time?
If there was
this bridge is trying to outdo my bit.
If there was ever like a watermelon shortage, I'm just picturing Gallagher like dissecting a pineapple, like trying to figure it out. No, I can't do it.
I just don't know how the thing works.
It's not funny. I wish it was funny.
Pineapple's brown on the outside and yellow on the inside. It's not green and pink. There's nothing funny about yellow on the inside.
Kersplat? No, it's got to be Kersplat.
What if it was like Gallagher's tropical tour? Like sometimes there's alternate flavors of candy.
Oh, man. Do you have any watermelon Skittles? That's closer than a pineapple.
Like a whole boatload of watermelon Skittles.
A Gallagher cruise.
Oh,
I would throw myself right the fuck off.
Yeah. What a happy drowning that would be.
Isn't one of his specials called Overboard, actually, I think? Or Going Overboard?
Yes, it was.
Wow. All right.
Does it say that on your special edition DVD you have of it?
It's a Blu-ray.
Oh, wow. See that shit in high definition.
It's the best. I just sit there and watch it with a poncho just to feel it.
Oh, gross.
So we're taken to the Dixie Boy, right? Is that it?
Yes. But I have to touch on something really quick, Steve Sadek. I'm so sorry.
No, you should be.
Because there's an extra in this bridge scene.
Oh, right.
That I think is very important to mention. The famous actress Marla Maples. And if you don't know who that is, it's our idiot president's second wife. Bloom! What was that? Somebody just connected. Are someone charging their phone?
Yes, I love Maximum Overdrive. You were so beautiful as a dead woman. I love dead women.
Yep.
All right.
He just might love dead women.
I love him.
There's a lot of good cars on both sides of this argument. Yeah, you've got the Green Goblin car. But there's Antifa cars. What? There's Antifa cars.
What about the alt-humans?
Hey, Jared, why isn't Maximum Overdrive on Blu-ray? Think it's time for another executive order.
That would be amazing if you're just signing executive orders to release things on Blu-ray.
They'd be just as pointless as all the rest of them.
Shout Factory has been nationalized.
Oh, I like that idea.
It already exists, sir.
All right, so Steve Sadek, what were you saying?
We go to the Dixie Boy.
Yes, which is a gas station?
It's a gas station slash, like, I don't even know.
Like entertainment complex is what I call it.
It's a halfway house slash gas station.
With an eatery.
There's like nothing but convicted felons working there.
Yes.
And like Pat Hingle is like got some scam going.
Well, because he's sort of like stealing, he's getting free labor because it's like he's going to tell all, like Emilio Estevez, for example, is an ex-con.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know what, Emilio, I'm going to dock your pay and tell your parole officer. And he just starts puttering out like that.
And Emilio Estevez, who has bright pink eyes throughout this movie, is high out of his mind. It's just like, yo,
This motherfucker is seeing through time while making this movie.
Does that explain the neckbeard he's got in this movie?
Yeah, I think it does, actually.
It's a grody looking neckbeard.
Like, you see how, like, the logo over there is, like, pink, kind of? It's like that. It's not, like, bloodshot. It's just, like, where the white should be, it's just all pink.
Our big thanks once again to SiriusXM for sponsoring this special episode live from Austin. Welcome to commercial-free music from every genre, live play-by-play sports, the biggest news and talk, and the hottest entertainment at your fingertips 24/7. Head over to SiriusXM.com/HeadGum where you can get 2 months free with no obligations. You can try it out on your phone with the app, stream it free online, or in your car that's SiriusXM ready. Get access to premium channels like Howard Stern, Comedy Central, E!, and more. The show in Austin was so much fun. We had an absolute blast down there with everybody. Thanks to SiriusXM for making it available for download. Again, that's SiriusXM.com/HeadGum for 2 free months of streaming free. And now, back to the show.
And the Green Goblin car shows up, which is a big truck. Uh-huh. It's driven by Frankie Faison.
And it's for some reason, it's like he won Pimp My Ride like the day before. And he was like, oh, I kind of enjoy comic books. Like, we're going to make the whole fucking car look like the Green Goblin. And he's like, okay.
Do you think that those people on that show like had to say, like, you know what? I think you're going a little too far.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't need that many DVD players in a car. Like, one DVD player is all probably too many DVD players in a car.
You can watch a standard def DVD in your trunk.
No, you definitely need a pyramid on that Chevrolet.
I guess I live here now. And, like, but Stephen King must have called, like, Marvel Comics to get this authorized, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
you have to call Stan the Man himself to get that, you know. Wow. That's one of his babies.
That's a conversation. Like, two of our greatest writers of all time just talking to each other. It's like F. Scott Fitzgerald and Hemingway just talking. Just two geniuses, you know what I mean?
I bet Stan Lee's convo with Stephen King was much less racist than that other conversation.
Probably.
Just a guess. So this is what's kind of annoying about this movie, right? We sort of posited earlier today that this movie would be better if it was just vignettes of people getting fucked over by cars and electronic devices and whatnot. But instead, it's like, you know what's a great idea? Really going to like scare the hell out of people like I promised during that trailer? Let's just leave everything at this gas station.
Aren't you interested in Emilio Estevez's romantic life?
Yes.
Yes. Oh,
sex life, maybe? Yeah. Work life? Mm-hmm.
No.
Okay.
So he targets frightened hitchhikers.
And Yardley Smith of the Simpsons there, who's, I guess, we're involved in pee play in this movie a little bit.
Oh God.
Because it's their honeymoon. They're driving, and she's like, "I have to go to the bathroom," and the guy's like, "Why bother?" And it's like, "Wait, what is this movie?"
I don't understand. Okay, here's the thing.
Yeah.
Wait. First I saw Marla, and now this. I'm getting all kinds of ideas.
5 stars.
This is the best movie ever made. Hey, Russian oligarchs, come watch this movie with me.
But listen, though, even if you are into pee play, right?
Two little thumbs up.
120 Days of Sodom got knocked down a peg.
All right, listen. Even if you are into pee play, which
we're not judging, fine. I'm not judging. Yeah,
I don't care.
Fine, yeah.
But why be cool with ruining the front seat of that car? There's no plastic under that.
But it's also like you just married this guy, and now he's just whipping out the fetish card immediately.
That's the thing. I feel that is a before. That's a before we say our vows
no,
situation.
No, because now you can't get out of it. It's 1986.
And
it's in the South.
Oh, fair. We should say this does take place in North Carolina.
They're going to a place called...
Woo! Nice!
Yeah.
College basketball! Perfect.
Wait, wow. I didn't know Jesus. That.
A lot of fans of the Dixie Boy here tonight.
You know what's another annoying thing about this movie?
Sure.
So, like, when we try to scare people with this movie, we also rip off a great scary movie, Psycho. Right? You guys remember, like, the screeching violins, yeah. Right? Something similar happens, but because all music of all kinds, sound effects included, I think, have to be produced by AC/DC. Yeah. When you want the scares to come, it's just somebody with a guitar going, "Kai, kai, kai."
See, I dispute that. I think it was just Angus hitting a guitar over a block engine over and over again.
It's scary. Oh, yeah. You're going to shit.
I like how AC/DC sounds like the DuckTales kids. Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
For those about to rock, Uncle Scrooge.
Yeah, well, you know, our vocal talents are limited.
Yeah.
They get the idea.
But I just like the idea of, like, using that to scare people. It's just like,
look out, here comes Michael Myers!
It's like, no one, you know, you need that synth.
Totally. Things made by talented people.
Yeah.
John Carpenter hitting one keyboard note over and over again.
Hey. Look out for that guy! He's a werewolf! For those about to suck, he is Dracula!
Yeah, exactly.
Also, a bad idea when you're you're making a movie such as this, such as Maximum Overdrive, to just kind of say, you know what? Every song by AC/DC.
Yeah.
Every last one of them. Because what winds up happening is when they're trying to like build tension in this movie at different parts, right? For those listening at home, I just kind of rolled my eyes and shrugged. All they can do, because it's fucking AC/DC, one of the loudest bands in the history of music, is just turn it down. So like, Emilio Estevez is crawling through a sewer and it's like... It's just a total failure, and it makes no... Like, you want to have AC/DC songs in it, fine. But the opening credits are like, songs by AC/DC.
Like, yeah, you can end your movie with, like, whatever. Sure. The big ones, you know?
All the big hits. Every last one.
I don't know AC/DC.
I don't fucking listen to AC/DC. That one we came out to, was that there?
Yeah, Highway to Hell.
So. I think that's a big one.
It is a big one. So we just have this ragtag group of people at this gas station, and they're all just stuck here because a gaggle, or a convoy, you might say, of trucks come on in.
They're circling like sharks, Andrew.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
Shark trucks.
That we should have had an Angus Young guitar riff there. Burner! Burner!
How are they communicating, you know?
That's the question I want to know.
Like, I think because we're not in the cabs, it's the CB radios.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Breaker.
Cars should just talk. Let's just fucking do it.
Please.
And I want, like, later, like, when, like, Emilio Estevez is, like, going through that tunnel, I want them to, like, to figure it out. They have, like, a map, a blueprint of the area. Like,
so you want to see a truck reading a blueprint?
Yes, exactly. Like,
okay.
It's like, go ahead. Well, there's an access tunnel here, if you look like that kind of a thing.
Well, I mean, they're essentially like Decepticon separatists. They have like a small, they're not like trying to rule the world or anything. They just want to kill this Dixie boy.
Sandwich Wiki, pull over immediately. I want to fuck up this gas station.
Wait a second.
Let's kill Donald Trump's first wife. Second,
I
please.
Think you're sorry.
Keep the order of our president's wife in line, all right? She was two.
I think you're on to something here.
Oh, with the Transformers?
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes.
But they should be talking, because also then you get some celebrity voice casting in, I think is the other idea.
Well, there's a truck that looks like Mater.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, Mater's mother, Bertha?
Hey, cool, I'm going to kill people at this gas station.
That's a fun movie. Yeah.
And like he's like ramming a woman against a wall or something, and it's just like, get her done.
Also, actually, you know what? Maybe they're not Decepticons. Maybe they're, what are the good ones?
Autobots.
Yeah. Because they're trying to kill this Dixie boy. Okay, number one, that name. Number two.
Yes.
Pat Hingle is docking people's pay. Maybe the trucks staked this out for a while. Like, this guy is no good. And we find out he's storing guns in the basement.
I don't know what that's about.
Yeah, that's a whole other movie.
So
that's
maybe,
what that is.
I don't know why they killed everyone else, but they're going after Pat Hingle, and that's a good thing.
And if they could talk, right, that's the thing. It would be like, we're just here for Hingle.
Right?
Send Hingle out, the rest of you will live.
Imagine how great the movie would be if after everyone who got killed who isn't Pat Hingle, they just go, whoops.
I killed another one. Shit. Going to send myself into space now.
Oh, God damn it. I'm going to need a calculator.
But we also, so this kid like goes away, like he runs away from the Little League there, and he goes down this like street, and everyone has died in hilarious fashion. And like improbable ways, like some lady gets a hairdryer wrapped around her neck.
She's
like,
strangled with a hairdryer.
How does that work?
I think that woman was, no. That woman was just murdered.
Okay.
Like this kid's bicycling down his street and he's like looking at all this carnage and there's a woman like hanging out a window with a cord wrapped around her neck and he's like, oh, I think she just got killed.
That's a very separate but equally dangerous serial killer that's currently active.
It would be a better movie. Like, all this stuff is happening, and then the killer's just like, now I can do it. I'll blame it on the cars.
Perfect timing. Let's do it.
Yeah, maybe a car could strangle someone. Why not?
Who knows?
Sprinklers are going off. Again, that's why none of this is consistent. They don't have motors.
That's a simple machine. Like, do pulleys work too? Are ramps going to come to life?
Oh, shit, a killer ramp? Oh, my God.
Electric wheelchairs? Come on.
Oh, that would be a lot of fun.
See, that's what we're missing right there, mm-hmm. right? a good electric wheelchair
gag. Some minions for the trucks.
Well, because we had that, like the stair lift thing in Gremlins, right?
Yeah.
About something similar. Chuck an old woman out a window.
And there's a hungry lawnmower, as we talked about before.
Which, that's like the most obvious
and,
one,
and
right?
Why can't I see it killing people?
I think this is also the first, I was going to say animal, but first machine that actually growls like a panther or something.
That's how you make it scary. That's how you scare the hell out of people.
I guess.
I'm going to scare the hell out of you.
Wherever you are.
Come back here.
Just like imagine if like a car was a tiger.
Tiger cars?
Yeah. I love tiger cars.
Are you scared yet?
Getting there.
So at this, at the Dixie Boy, we have like a cornucopia of good character actors in this movie.
Yeah, so we said Frankie Faison.
Yeah, but they're all covered in ketchup. Everybody's fucking filthy in this movie.
Eggs
Dude, they're
and
all,
potatoes.
They're living at a truck stop. Of course they're filthy.
Well, that's the thing. Is like they have to spend the night there, but it seems like it's not the end of the world for anybody, right?
No, it's just Tuesday.
Milo Estevez is trying to get laid.
Yeah.
While the world is ending, he's trying to get laid.
No, wouldn't you?
No! Like
this could be our last night on Earth, baby. You know what I mean? It's like a lame pickup line.
Right.
But no. Sure. I would just be flaccid. I'm sorry. I can't deal with that.
That's your stand-up special, Flaccid at the Apocalypse.
And it's just like you click on the Netflix box and it's just Cabin like.
Sorry. But you know, I kind of agree with you. Like the existential crisis arisen by this film will not necessarily arise your dick, right? Like,
no.
You know what I mean? Like,
no.
Or will it?
The other option
Look,
is
people
or will
like
it.
People peeing in cars. People like fucking during the apocalypse.
And I also want the end of the world. It's
exactly.
Doing it for me.
So, you know, sometimes when we watch these movies, like, we just kind of take some quick notes and stuff just to remember where we are.
Sure.
I don't know what this note means, and maybe you gentlemen can help me crack this mystery, because right now, on my list of notes, I just have something that says Spider-Man dildos.
Oh,
right, yes.
I know exactly
can
what you're talking about.
Someone jog my memory? Okay, go ahead.
Frankie Faison drives a truck called, is it?
Happy Toys?
Happy Toys.
With a Z.
And it said, like, giving joy, loads of joy?
Another load of joy?
Another load of joy.
And that's the one that looks like the Green Goblin, so Chris had posited that it was filled with Spider-Man themed dildos.
Right. I see. So
you got yourself.
Check that one right off.
There.
That makes perfect sense.
You know, Mysterio vibrators, they go big.
They go big when you go home.
Yeah. Here comes the Rhino.
Listen, people.
Oh, my God.
You're going to want these dildos when you're flaccid at the apocalypse.
Yes. Like,
buy now.
I'd be looting them. I'd be taking them and ready to go.
Yeah.
How many do you need?
20.
Okay.
The Hobgoblin dildo is just redundant of the Green Goblin dildo. Just like, why do you need two of the same kind?
Do you think the green...
Yes.
Oh, it's a color pref. Got it. Do you think, like, when you use the Green Goblin one, there's, like, a little voice box in it that sounds like Willem Dafoe?
Now you're talking, Spider-Man. Hey, it's dark in here.
Are you
That's awful, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Did that turn anyone off?
I need batteries. I need batteries.
Oh, dude, yeah, when he's running low.
You have your parents over, and you're just trying to, like, your drawer starts yelling at you.
Dear, what is that?
I need batteries.
Have you kidnapped Willem Dafoe, honey?
Avenge me!
But the Scorpion's not a big seller, though.
No, not a big seller.
You know what's pretty cool in this movie, man? Pat Hingle uses a bazooka multiple times.
Yeah, yeah.
With one hand, by the way.
One-handed bazooka. Is this the only movie Pat Hingle shoots a bazooka?
A checking for Batman? No.
No.
I think we're good. That's the only movie. Wow.
Is he in Bonnie and Clyde? Do they add bazookas in that?
I think that's pre-bazooka. I don't know for sure, but yes, it is.
Maybe the TV series.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
TV series?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Well, how get like 6 seasons and a movie on that? We already got the movie.
No, it had
down.
Like 3 episodes. And then it was canceled. Oh, so
they die at the end of every single episode.
I would watch that. I'd totally watch that.
So like, it, you know, we're just sort of like sitting around while these cars just kind of circle without a plan. And we're just like, all right, I guess we live at this gas station. Oh, one lady gets cut by a knife, an electric knife, which is exciting.
Oh, it's one of those, like, if you're bad at carving a turkey, like an electric carving kind of a thing. And that's pretty funny.
Well, she also goes mad because of, we made all the cars.
Oh,
so she takes it upon herself to start screaming, "We made you!"
Listen, man, here's the deal.
That's my mom at Christmas every fucking year, dude. It's just like, lady... Yeah, I got it.
You're like, I already got this Batman figure. We made you! And I bought you this and we made you.
That's uncomfortable.
I don't know. It's kind of like stolen valor in a way. Because it's like she wasn't on the assembly line.
Yeah. We collectively as human beings.
Right, right. Well, here's the thing, though. If cars come to life and one of them is as big as it is with the Green Goblin face on it and whatnot... If I don't have the whole story about what's going on, first of all, right, I'm not just going to go up and talk shit to
you. Yeah.
I'm going to hang back, try to form a plan.
They say fuckface nonstop in this movie.
It's a Stephen King fuckface script. Fuckface. He loves useless profanity.
Yeah.
Just like us.
I would love if there was a Stanley cameo in this movie. What would the Green Goblin be in it and all? You know what I mean? Like,
oh.
Where would you put him in?
Like, maybe a typewriter comes to life and eats his fingers.
No! I need those!
Or do I? Let me just take some of these notes from Kirby over here.
Or... or...
It's an old sports injury.
His tinted glasses come to life and, like, go into his eyes and shit.
I'm killed by my famous sunglasses.
Well, this is inconsistent, but it's a Stephen King thing, so that works out.
So I guess, like, Emilio Estevez has to be, like, the action hero here.
Well, the woman, this lady who's a hitchhiker, who's, like, the romantic lead, has to, like, remind you. She, like, looks at him and is like, you're the hero of this movie, right?
What?
Yeah. And he's standing on six apple carts, and he's like, yes, I am. I'm 6 foot one.
And then she says some line like, you know, the whole world has gone kind of crazy ever since every machine went into maximum overdrive. Yes.
If you have to squeeze in a titular line, I guess that's as good a place as any.
Does anybody on the stage know what that means?
What does that mean?
I don't know what that means.
Okay.
I know what overdrive means.
But that's like extra.
Yeah.
Extra super overdrive.
Sure.
Is any car people here? Jay Leno.
Are there any sentient cars out there?
The show was sold out. I'm sorry. We couldn't get in, Sam Witwicky.
Oh, shit, the roads are closed on 6th Street.
Local jokes. We made you.
But yeah, they have sex in the middle of it. And the weirdest and most gross thing that Emilio Estevez does, like...
Emilio Estevez has sexual intercourse with this hitchhiker we were talking
about. And we're just like...
Just so we're all on the same page.
We're canoodling, and he starts like grabbing the sweat off of her head.
Yes.
And eating it.
Eating the... And the only thing to make that worse is after he consumes her sweat, he just goes...
What happened?
He just starts fucking laughing.
Oh, really?
He's had a psychotic break. The world's ending.
I don't know. It's just weird. It seems like it should be in a different movie. Oh, this killer truck movie.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, like, there's just a bunch of, like, we're going back and forth through access tunnels. There's a guy who gets punted, a Bible salesman gets punted into a ditch and turns into a zombie for some sort of kind of reason.
I think that's how he was going to scare the hell out of you. Secret zombie.
Well, the scariest part for me, there is just a random shot of an airplane and it's flying on its own.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, show me all the 9/11s. I know they are happening.
So many.
There are nonstop 9/11s.
The finger thing means the money. Because even that one plane, when you see what happened to it at the end of the movie, we don't see it crash. It's just stuck through a school bus? Goo. What a ghoulish image that is.
You got to get Steven out of the bathroom to be able to film that thing. Like, Steven, we got the guy. We got the plane guy. He's leaving in 5 hours. Like, go away!
I'm with my real friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's like this rescue mission that's launched to save this Bible salesman that everybody hated, first of all.
Yeah.
He starts screaming and they're like, "Who's that?" And they're like, "Oh, it's that Bible salesman we hate." And everyone is like, "All right, this is a level 5. We have to save this dude who we all hate."
No, he's in heaven now.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I say about anyone who's in danger during the apocalypse. They're going to heaven. It's fine.
Eventually, those screams will dissipate, right? You know what I mean? You just kind of wait it out.
Well, it takes them so fucking long to crawl through the tunnel to get them. He dies along the way.
Start cranking the AC/DC. It's just like... Yeah.
Who made you? Who made who?
Help me, please!
Up. Hang on. After this solo.
Yeah!
Wait. So that AC/DC song's Who Made Who?
Yeah. Yes.
Wait, does AC/DC think cars made man?
Yeah. No, I think, here's the thing.
Wait. The Transformers movies, they predated man, right? Like the Transformers came here first, the Allspark.
Yes.
So maybe, this definitely takes place in the Transformers verse.
So do you think AC/DC knows something we don't?
Yes.
I think that's absolutely correct, yeah.
Okay. Checks out. So there's a couple of like tough vehicles that enter the picture. Right, so there's we have a bulldozer and then like this little car with like a huge gun on it, which is my favorite character because he's like, yeah, I might be a little car, but I got a huge gun on top of me.
What purpose does this car have? It's like a flatbed, no defense at all, and a giant gun on top of it. Just wheels and a gun.
I think it's for like super quick, like mass executions, right? Mm-hmm. You just speed by a huge line of people, just chunk, 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 chunk.
Yeah, it's for that and for recreation. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You know?
Need to go to the beach?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, take your gun car.
Well, don't punish the gun car hunters, okay? Those 19-year-old gun car hunters.
And these cars, it turns out, they have a set of demands.
Yeah.
Well, they start doing Morse code, right?
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Who taught them this?
You know what? I don't know. And I think nobody knows. Not even the person who wrote and directed it.
That's what's scary about it.
If they made us, they must have made Morse code. Mm-hmm. So there you go, Eric.
Oh, that stands to reason.
Yes.
So the end of this movie is basically the trucks are like, all right, here's the deal. We need you, the humans, who we've been killing this whole time, to fill us all up. This movie is just these trucks want gas. The end result, like the end of this mission, I don't really know what's going on. I don't know what these trucks have in store.
The climax of this movie is everyone being tired after pumping so much gas.
Yes.
Which is, there's so much like... And this one, like Emilio Estevez, there's a shot of his hand and there's like blisters all over it.
Oh my God.
You're just pumping gas.
You ever see Psycho when that guy goes down the stairs or Maximum Overdrive when they're tired after pumping gas? That scene when fucking Johnny Depp goes inside the bed and blood pops out. Or that scene where everyone's a bit pooped after pumping quite a bit of gas.
You know, a hard day's work is scary to me.
So. Yes, that makes sense.
So there's like this, we kind of, we go to an island is the idea. We're going to go into a boat.
That's the plan.
Yeah.
We never quite, it would be nice to see that.
No.
I think they just ran out of money.
Why trust a boat? I would never trust a boat.
Why? Any particular reason?
I don't know.
It's a simple machine. It's kind of spooky.
Natalie Wood.
I'm a boat now. No.
I promise I won't say anything.
Seriously.
We don't know, man.
Robert Vaughn or whatever. Wagner.
Robert Wagner, yeah.
He might be innocent.
Robert Vaughn's down in hell like, I had nothing to do with that one. Siska,
why is he in hell?
Why not?
All right, sure. Yeah,
You don't know for sure.
Investigate the boat.
Didn't he work on a Superman movie? Doesn't that just get you straight to hell?
Yeah.
If it's a bad one. No one from that first movie went to hell.
So, yeah, Emilio Estevez finally used the bazooka to kill the head car, which is the car with the head on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and its eyes light up red for some reason.
And he says, adios, motherfucker, which is pretty something.
Pretty something.
Yeah, yeah. Nice.
A line fit for like a Stallone or a Schwarzenegger goes to Emilio Estevez. Okay. Checks out. They get on this boat, and then there's another paragraph. Another paragraph of text that makes no sense.
It's a Pucci died on his way to his home planet, is the end of it.
Pucci's film production ran out of money, and now this is the end of the movie.
But we're talking about a Soviet satellite killing a UFO or something?
There was a UFO, and I wasn't made aware of this?
Dude, you cannot have a secret UFOing, man. So that is upfront information.
Did the aliens make everything go crazy, or did the comet? Or wait, I don't know what's going on.
Yes. The question scary. Of our time, Eric.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe why you were going to get the hell...
Who?
I think why you were going to get the hell scared out of you is because it's an ambiguous ending. I let people make their own conclusions.
But this is why...
Where are you? Where's the person making the conclusions?
Heaven's Gate loved this, obviously, because they wanted to go to a UFO when the Hellbop...
Oh, I see. The Hellbop.
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 Yep.
Came by.
Yeah.
In this movie, there was a UFO following a comet. It makes sense.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, I would kill myself if this happened.
And so credits.
Yeah.
That's Maximum Overdrive. Yeah, yeah. That's how they ended it. That's how they decided to end it. So we got to get going. But really quickly, we want to thank all y'all for coming out here.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you so much to HeadGum for having us. Check out that merch table, man.
Black Men Can't Jump one
thank
more time.
Thank you very much
thank
to those
you
guys.
So much, guys.
Now, we want to just leave you with a quick bit of internet correspondence really fast, right? The old IMDb user reviews. 10 out of 10 stars, a great B-movie from TJ17. This film is a B-movie, and you have to keep that in mind when you watch
no,
it.
Oh, no, it's a B-movie! Oh, no, that truck came to life!
Also, it is one of the best B-movies.
No, mine's the best.
Yeah. With Stephen King's popularity and financial situation...
Wait, what does that mean?
TJ knows something we don't.
Uh-huh.
This film could have had an almost unlimited budget. Also, anyone could have directed this, but he chose to do it on purpose. What you see is the way he intended the film to look like. Cheesy, more funny than actually scary, lots of fake-looking blood.
It's true, you kill what you love.
I like how Stephen King was like, no, it's got to be cheaper.
Make it look shittier.
I have an unlimited budget for some reason.
Look, here's...
Because of my financial situation, of course.
Here's some cardboard. Make the trucks from these.
I'm embezzling through my nose.
This is my favorite line, ready? It's destined to be a cult classic.
When was this written?
October 24th, 2003.
Well, I mean, it's either a cult classic by now or it's not.
Some movies take a little bit longer to get there, man.
Okay, all right.
It was intended to be that way. The only thing I was disappointed with was that the DVD did not have more special features. We are We Hate Movies from New York City. Thank you so much for coming out.
Thank
awesome.
You, everybody.
We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
That was a HeadGum podcast.